my experience has taught me that the magic number is 3 times a week. I get all of my athletes to commit to swimming at least 3 times a week. Some do more, but none of them do less.
That Triathlon Show, episode 70. Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of That Triathlon Show, the podcast presented by scientifictriathlon.com. I'm your host, Michael, and on today's episode, I talk with Rory Buck, a former international-level swimmer turned swimming coach focusing exclusively on triathletes. And the main idea with this interview is to really give you a framework complete with specific examples for how you should be structuring your swim training as a triathlete on a program and a workout level. So some of the key questions that we go into are: how often should you swim, how much should you focus on technique training, and how much on fitness training, and what kind of sets and drills would you use to improve technique and fitness, as mentioned above. And we'll also talk about how these things may change depending on the time of year and your current swimming ability. So without any further ado, let's dive right into the interview with Rory Buck. Today's guest on That Triathlon Show is Rory Buck, a swimming coach specifically for triathletes. He has his own swimming career in as his athletic background and has been swimming and coaching for a long time already, coming from South Africa initially, but nowadays residing in Dubai and swimming at the collegiate level in the States. So Rory, hi, welcome to That Triathlon Show.
Hey, thanks. Thanks very much, Michael. I appreciate you having me.
So do you mind taking a quick minute to fill in some gaps that I probably left out from that intro?
Not a problem at all. Yeah, I started swimming a little bit later than most competitive swimmers. I got really into training at 16 and spent a number of years trying to catch up to the competition that I was swimming against. Very similar to the experience that a lot of age group triathletes go through, learning to swim late. Over a 10-year period, got more and more competitive. Whether I got faster or my competition just slowly retired, I'm not sure which one happened, but ended up swimming at an international level representing South Africa. Swam collegiately in the States and then retired in 2012 after Olympic trials. Just continued to coach. And in the last couple of years, last 4 or 5 years, have transitioned into working exclusively with triathletes.
Perfect. And we've had a pretty good, really good email conversation going on what different topics and questions we will want to answer in this interview. And first, one thing that I should mention is that you wrote an excellent guide, a really long guide, but I read it from start to finish, and I highly recommend it for anybody. It seems that we have very similar philosophies to swim training for triathletes, and we'll link that in the show notes. But the structure for this interview will be, we will answer the basic questions of how many times per week should you be swimming, and what should you be doing in your swim training? Should you focus on technique, fitness, or what's the correct balance? And how should you then improve those two abilities, technique and fitness? Do you use drills, and how do you structure your workouts, your interval sets, etc.? So anything that we should talk about before going into this recipe for swim training for triathletes?
Well, I think, first of all, I appreciate the mention of the guide. There's a lot of information out there. A lot of it is overwhelming. A lot of it is confusing. And so I sat down to write something that would sort of just help simplify it as much as possible. It's been very well received, and I appreciate that feedback from you. I think there's nothing else to add that's give your audience a very clear and structured breakdown on how to attack the structure of their training.
Excellent. So let's first start with the all important questions. How many times a week should you be swimming?
That is a question that gets asked a lot. And there's a couple of nuances that we need to kind of take into account for talking average age group triathlete. My experience has taught me that the magic number is 3 times a week. I get all of my athletes to commit to swimming at least 3 times a week. Some do more, but none of them do less. And there's a reason why that 3 times a week is sort of a magic number. And it's due to the way that we develop feel for the water. I found that if we go less than 3 times a week, the body loses its feel for the water. And feel is sort of a touchy, airy-fairy word, but in a nutshell, all that does is describes how well our bodies interact with the water. So as we move around on land on a daily basis, we know how to deal with gravity, and we have very good spatial awareness as we move around on land. But when we're horizontal in an oxygen-deprived environment, and all of, or sort of had this weightlessness, our bodies aren't exactly sure how to respond and how to move effectively through the water. And that's, in a nutshell, what feel is. It's the ability to balance. It's the ability to hold your line, the ability to feel the water, grip on the water, and propel yourself forward. So swimming 3 times a week gives us the ability to maintain that feel from session to session. If we stretch that out and only go 2 times a week, a good part of each session is spent just sort of reestablishing a good feel for the water. Now, is 4 better than 3, or is 5 better than 3? Generally, yes, you are going to see improvements, better improvements, by swimming more than 3 times a week. But you have to ask yourself the question, what are the overall gains that you're getting for those extra 2 swims, and what is the opportunity cost of those extra hours that you're spending in the water? You could drop your swim time in your Olympic distance or 70.3 distance swim by 2 or 3 minutes by putting those extra 2 hours in every week. But could you improve 10 or 15 minutes on the bike or on the run in those same 2 hours? So it sort of becomes a balance of working out where the overall best advantage is going to come from.
Do you have any guidelines on at what number of weekly total workouts, including swim, bike, and run, would you be well served moving up to 4 or 5 times of swimming per week? And likewise, if you do a certain number of workouts, which is relatively few per week, when is 3 maybe too much? It takes up too much of your total time and you might move down to 2 swim workouts per week?
That's a very good question. I think it sort of depends on what distance race you're looking to race. That will sort of set the parameters for whether or not it's in your best interest to move up. I think if you're racing training for a full distance Ironman, likely those extra hours are going to be spent on the bike, just because that is such a big part of the day. But if you're able to get in your long rides every week, plus an additional 2-3 hour extra rides on every alternating day, and you still have hours left over, well, one, you're either likely close to a pro triathlete or are a pro triathlete, or you're not dealing with the family, work, etc., etc., that the rest of us have to deal with. So I'm not 100% sure at what exact points it's in the best interest for people to bump up. What I have found is that for a lot of my guys, if there's any injuries that pop up, any Achilles or calves or anything like that, that limit the number of run workouts they can do in a week, we immediately bump the swims up to 4 or 5 and just get as much benefit as we can out of those, out of the periods of time where they can't do the other training.
And what about moving down? So let's say a typical more beginner, not necessarily a complete beginner, but a common number of workouts in many age groupers I found is 6 workouts per week. They're just very time constrained and have a lot of other things going on. And that's the amount of time that they're willing to commit. And so how do you break down if you have 6 workouts per week to play around with swimming, biking, and running? Do you still recommend 3 swim workouts per week, or does it move down to 2?
I think if you are limited to 6 hours a week, I'm assuming that when you say workouts, you're looking at about an hour long. For that situation, I would recommend doing 2 1-hour workouts during the week, and then trying to get in a shorter 20-minute block somewhere else in the week, is if you can, just to sort of get that feel for the water, or even a 15-minute block, whether that comes in on the back end of a run or any way you can sort of fit it in. If you can just touch the water for a very brief period of time, I would highly recommend that. Otherwise, I think in that situation, I would probably limit it down to 2. But then I think also setting the expectation for somebody who is training at that number of hours a week, sort of where the performance level is going to be on race day.
Yeah. And just thinking on my feet, I can think of maybe combining a 20-minute swim with a gym session. That's also crucially important. And many pools and facilities have gyms, so you could do the swim, 15-20-minute swim, and then do your gym, which might be part like one solid workout in your weekly training schedule. So that's maybe one way that you can combine that.
Correct. Or if you have a treadmill run, and you're swimming at the same facility or the same gym that has a treadmill, or any way that you can kind of combine that and just get touch the water for a brief period of time is going to be highly advantageous.
Let's move on to the question about technique versus probably the wrong word here, but technique and fitness. How do you combine the two, and what should triathletes, let's start with this way, what should triathletes think about when it comes to where to put their priorities in swimming, in technique and fitness, and let's treat this as a moving spectrum.
Right. So you have to focus on both. And I, in my experience working with triathletes, I've tended to come across 2 very distinct types. One that believes that technique is absolutely everything and will spend a majority of their time just trying to focus on technique. And then the other that will just try and sort of hack their way through it. This is at a beginner level, at least. And you have to have a combination of both, technique and, swim fitness, which I think I sort of define as your ability to maintain good position at a good heart rate or a relative heart rate over the prescribed period of time. So that's sort of my very broad definition of swim fitness. And you have to have a combination of both. You need a baseline level of fitness to be able to build good technique. And then you need good technique to be able to swim faster and more efficiently over longer distances. So there's a combination of the both there.
Yeah, there's been many guests on the show have pointed out exactly as you say that technique, or just expanding upon that, that if you don't have fitness, then no matter how good your technique is, when you're doing drills and swimming at a very easy pace, it will all break down as soon as you get up into the race intensity, and you won't have any benefits from that technique if it breaks down. You need to be able to hold the technique at your race intensity, and as you say, I've also seen that many times that there are some triathletes that seem to just focus on technique. And also I've heard the misnomer that I can just focus on swim technique and use my bike and run fitness for the fitness aspect of swimming. But there's really not such an overlap in that direction. That's at least my belief. What's your opinion on that, the overlap of different cardiovascular fitness abilities from the different disciplines of triathlon to one another?
Unfortunately, I think what you've just said is 100% spot on. There isn't a great deal of transference from swim or bike and run fitness over into swim fitness. Yes, your cardiovascular system will be efficient in many ways, but you're using completely different muscle groups to move you through the water than you are on the bike and the run. And if those muscle groups are not efficient at utilizing the oxygen, at clearing the waste product, at delivering nutrients and blood to the muscles, you are going to fall apart very quickly if you don't have that swim specific fitness.
What about the other way around? Do you see a lot of overlap or transference of fitness from swimming to the other sports?
I think there is a lot of benefit that does get transferred over. I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, specificity wins out. To become more efficient on the bike, you have to spend time on the bike. To become a better runner, you must run more. But something that does transfer over very well is your ability to manage and control your breathing, which has a direct relation with your heart rate. So swimming teaches you how to control your breathing and how to maintain a good respiratory rate. And I think that has a lot of benefit that crosses over into biking and running. I also think not exactly fitness related, but swimming also teaches very good lessons on pacing. Because we don't have immediate feedback in the water on how fast we're swimming and what pace or what zone we're working in, like we do when we're on the bike looking at our bike computer, or when we're on the run looking at our watch. There's some very good lessons on learning how to sort of distinguish what your pace is or what zone you're working in that you get from swimming, and that definitely transfers over onto your bike and your run.
Mm. So sorry, that was me going off script, but excellent answer. Okay. And I think that's a good learning point as well for the listeners. So let's get back to, you need to do both technique and fitness. And let's talk about the technique side first. How do we as triathletes improve our technique?
So as I said before, you need a baseline level of fitness in order to really work on technique. And so in the early stages of developing technique, you need to be doing both technique work and some swimming work to supplement it. But from focusing on the pure technique side of things, I tend to use a lot of swimming drills to help teach specific movement patterns in the simplest form. So drills help us break down and isolate individual pieces of the overall stroke, which gives us just one thing to focus on and get better at. And that can be a fundamental movement like your balance position or your alignment through the water, or looking at something that you've identified is a weakness in your stroke. So we could use drills. I use drills with all of my athletes, regardless of how good a swimmer they are. The purpose may be to fix a weakness in a beginner swimmer, or the purpose may be to refine something or reinforce a particular movement with a more experienced or more advanced swimmer. But drills is the vehicle that I use to help refine, develop, and teach good technique.
So how do we know which drills to use and how to use them? Like, do we do this for four 25-meter repeats, or is it 20, or is it the entire hour, or how do we go about starting to use drills to improve technique?
And that is a very, very good question. So the biggest mistake that a lot of triathletes will make with drills, or the three that I sort of I pick up on regularly with guys that are swimming on their own without a coach, and the first is drilling with no purpose. So you, like I said before, you want to identify a weakness or something specific that you want to refine, and then find a drill that meets the need or helps you develop that. Now, identifying that weakness can be as simple as having somebody watch your stroke, somebody who knows what they're doing, watch your stroke, whether that's a coach. Or recording yourself swim and comparing it to a model or a good swimmer, watching yourself swim on video and identifying a problem in your stroke, or getting a full video analysis done by a coach. But identifying specific weaknesses in your stroke and then using a targeted drill to help you. So do just simply Googling a drill or looking up a drill on YouTube and going, that looks like something that's fun, doesn't tend to really bring about tangible change. So that making sure that you have a purpose for your drill is probably the number one piece of advice I can offer when it comes to drill. The second is not doing too many drills in one workout. So we tend to limit the number of drills that we'll cover in the drill portion of a workout, and we'll repeat those drills numerous times. Repetition is absolutely your friend when it comes to refining technique. So it's there is always something else that you can focus on within that drill that's going to help you make you a little bit more efficient, or make you a little bit more effective in that piece of the stroke. So pick one drill or one stroke focus and have one or two drills that really nail that specific stroke focus, and then repeat it a number of times over and over again until you can feel the sort of automation as you move through the stages of learning of that piece of the stroke. So where ultimately you're looking to be sort of unconsciously competent or on autopilot as you execute that piece of the stroke, so that when you go into the full stroke swimming, you don't necessarily have to have the conscious focus on that piece. You can just focus on swimming and execute that part of the stroke well.
So that's just one or two drills per workout, you mean, that you focus on, and just one part of your stroke. And you mentioned there the drill part or technique portion of the workout. So how big is that as part of, or in proportion of your whole entire workout?
Again, very good question. That depends on the skill level of the swimmer and the time of the season that they are working in. So the more advanced swimmer can get away with doing less drill work. Sorry, Michael, am I putting this on silent? I apologize for that.
No worries. People are busy. They're already calling you to learn more about swimming and swimming technique, and booking video analysis sessions with you. So it's all good.
Let's go back there. So the experienced swimmer can get away with less overall drill time, but I would still recommend that they spend a good portion of it. So early on in the season, off season, basically anything sort of 20 plus weeks out from a race, you can be spending upwards of 50-60% of your total workout time on technique. As that gets closer to race day, we'll drop that down to 40%. And then in the last 12 weeks leading into a race, you're looking at about 10 to 15% of your workout time, doing drill work. And I should add that when I say drill work, We'll always do full stroke swimming in the drill portions of our workout. So it's not just exclusively doing a drill for 425s or 450s or a couple of 100s. We always take the drill into full stroke swimming. And ideally, we also take that full stroke swimming up through different speeds. So as an experienced swimmer, I'm saying 50 to 60% of your workout time can be spent on technique and drills if you're 20 plus weeks out. But that's not to say that you are spending that entire time just doing drills. That is just that you are spending that time really focused on refining a particular stroke point, whether that's through a drill or in your full stroke swimming. Now, for a beginner, we spend more time on technique. So we're talking 20 plus weeks out, we can spend upwards of 75% of the total workout time working technique and drills. And then as we get down to 12 weeks, we can spend about half the time. And then in the 12 weeks leading into a race, we're probably looking at about 30% of your workout time spent doing drills. And again, the same thing applies. It's balancing drill work with full stroke swimming, and then taking that full stroke swimming through the various intensities, because nothing is learned until it's tested under pressure.
This is always an interesting question, but what in your opinion is, if you need to put a number like a CSS pace or something, that when do you become a more experienced or an advanced swimmer, and when are you still on the beginner side and need to focus a bit more on technique compared to the advanced swimmer? What's the speed or the level, the ability that you need to reach?
That is an interesting question. I think in my experience, once a swimmer sort of hits the 140 per 100 meter mark, as their CSS or threshold pace, at that point, they are likely moving more, as a triathlon swimmer, likely moving more onto the experience side. So anything in the 130s, so 139, once they break through that 140 barrier, they're tending to move into the more experienced swimmer. If you look at global exit times for Ironman branded full distance races, you're looking at the average time coming out of the water is about an hour 15, which is a 2 minute per 100 meter swim. So if you are faster than that over an Ironman distance, your CSS pace is likely to be in that 140 range. And that in my opinion, is sort of where we start to cross over into a more experienced type scenario.
Yeah, that sounds very reasonable to me, as well as a crossover point. Let's move into the fitness aspect. How do we then work on that?
So there are a couple of ways that we want to go about building our swim fitness. And one of the biggest mistakes that get made by triathletes is not varying the intensities that they're swimming at in their workouts. And building fitness is all about stressing the body in different ways. And by stressing the body in different ways, we bring about adaption. We can stress the body by swimming longer, or we can stress the body by swimming faster, or we can stress the body by reducing rest intervals. So there's a couple of different ways that we can stress the body that brings about adaption. Now, probably the easiest way to talk about stressing the body for your audience would be looking at intensity levels. So I think the four different intensity levels that I'll work through with my athletes we look at recovery pace, endurance pace, threshold pace, and speed. So we sort of use those four different intensity levels in our workout. And the prescription of how much time we spend working in each of those intensities will depend on where we are in the season, what the goal of the athlete is, what sort of race they are preparing for, and where they are in the swimming journey.
So let's take an example. Let's take a more beginner triathlete, maybe in the 2 minutes per 100 range. So they still do quite a bit of technique training, but also, as we talked about, always incorporating some fitness. So what might they do in the early stages of the, like in the winter base phase of a swim workout?
Right. So your technique work is generally done at a recovery pace and endurance pace. So a recovery pace is sort of your relaxed, easy swimming. That would be zone one or perceived effort at about a one or a two. That allows that athlete to concentrate more on what they're doing technique-wise without stressing their body and worrying about breathing. Endurance pace is slightly faster than that, but it's still very much a sustainable pace, sort of low zone two. That swimming at that pace sort of just builds the ability of the body to keep moving consistently over longer periods of time. So not having to resort to stopping or hanging on the wall, which is a luxury that we don't have when we're out in the open water, or having to switch to breaststroke or survival swimming or anything like that. So we'll spend a fair amount of time in those zones when we do the technique work. But the real sort of bang for your buck, the real game changer for a swimmer at about that pace is threshold training. So when I talk about the technique, the fitness part of a workout, the main set, that we'll spend a majority of our time at threshold pace for an athlete at about 2 minutes per 100. And your threshold pace or your CSS pace is a hard but sustainable pace. It's a pace that you're not working so hard that your body is going into oxygen debt or major oxygen debt. You're not building up a lot of waste in the blood. And so you're sort of pushing the boundaries of how fast you can go, but still sustain it over time. And there is this very simple test. There are a number of ways to sort of find what that pace is. A very simple one is a CSS test, which is a 400 time trial followed by a 200 time trial, and you plug that into a CSS calculator, which I could send you a link to.
Yeah, we can link that on the show notes. Perfect. And we also talked about that in detail and swimming training zones on episode 27, I believe, of the podcast. So they will also be linked up in the show notes.
Perfect. So we'll spend a lot of time at that pace for a swimmer of the sort of 2 minute per 100. So the fitness element will majority of you be taken care of by that threshold training.
Can you give an example of a main set for this swimmer?
Sure. I like to work through rounds with a number of my threshold sets, just because it gives a lot of feedback to an athlete. So we may go a 1500 meter threshold set where we go a 200 followed by three 100s, and we'll repeat that for three rounds. So we'll go 200, probably a 20-second rest, or if you know what your pace is, you could go on a send-off interval, and then three 100s on a 10 to 15-second rest interval, and repeat that with no additional rest between the three rounds. And that I like workouts like that, because oftentimes that athlete will say to me in round one, I'm swimming too slowly, this is too easy. And then in round three, they're having to work incredibly hard to try and hold the same pace.
Yeah, sounds good. What about the speed zone? How do you incorporate that in the training?
So this is something that gets overlooked quite a lot. When we do a lot of threshold work or CSS pace, essentially we're looking at basically swimming at about 75% intensity. And what you're teaching your body to do is become highly efficient at that specific heart rate or that specific zone. But that's 75% of your maximum speed. Now, we could get really efficient at swimming at that 75%, but not necessarily get any faster because our 100% speed hasn't improved at all. So in order to push our 100% speed a little bit higher, which would then obviously mean that our 75% is a little bit faster too, we throw in some speed work. And this is a fast pace that absolutely cannot be sustained. It's much faster than your CSS pace. We tend to do it on longer rest intervals. It's pure all-out speed. And those could be 50s. I like to use 75s, just because it's a little bit longer, but we could also push those out to 100s. And we're talking not a lot of distance, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 800 meters, in a full workout, that's spread out over 40 to 50 minutes. So you're talking a very limited amount of volume, but a very high pace. And that's difficult for a lot of age group triathletes to do just because it's not something that they are focused on at all.
Is this still something that more intermediate or even beginners could do, or is it more for the advanced? And the second question, at what point of the season should you do this kind of training?
So that's a good question. The way that I introduce this to my beginners or intermediate swimmers is we do it at the end of some of the technique work. As I said earlier, nothing is tested under pressure. So we may go 450s or 475s where we descend 1 to 4. And that last one we use is a really, really fast effort. So it's not an isolated, individual speed work session, but it does give them that sort of speed stimulus, within the workout. We also do, some takeout speed work. So we'll do sort of 50s where we go 20 meters all out sprint into 30 meters at your goal race pace. And that little bit of speed work also just introduces a little bit of speed work to the beginner or intermediate athlete. For the advanced athlete, we can do full sets of this. And when we do it in the season, it tends to be in that sort of 12 to 20 week out from your main race. So as we get closer to race day, we tend to do more race specific work at your race pace, with some speed thrown in there with the takeout sets. But the actual speed sex for an advanced athlete would do in the sort of 20 to 12 weeks out range.
Those are some really, really good examples. And the descending sets I really like a lot. And that takeout speed is something that anybody could benefit from. Even it's not, as you said, the intermediates transitioning into doing speed work or beginners, but also for advanced athletes, that would essentially simulate the race start to try to go really hard all out at the start, but then transitioning into race pace.
Correct. And that's something, Rory, that's very different about pool swimming versus triathlon swimming. And in pool swimming, we do a lot of that descend work because we want to finish strong. But in triathlon swimming, that's not always how it works.
Yeah. We're quickly coming up on time here. So just very, very quickly, we discussed talking about testing your progress. So what are the main takeaways here? Because we're trying to wrap up this interview soon so that we keep it to the time limit.
So I think there's just two things that I'd like to talk about in testing your progress. One is that your race day swim time is not always a good reflection of the swimming progress you've made. A very good example is a client that I've just recently started working with that's qualified for 70.3 World Championships in South Africa next year. And he did a 70.3 race in the UK not too long ago. And he thought it was a great swim because the time was good. And then 3 weeks later, he did another 70.3 race where he actually ended up qualifying for world champs. And he thought it was a disastrous swim. But looking at his time relative to the rest of the field, the second swim was actually the better one, even though it was slower. So there are so many variables in open water triathlon swimming that looking exclusively at the time that you swim for a specific distance is not a great measure of the progress that you're making. Testing your speed in the pool tends to give you a more accurate measure of how well you're progressing, and the easiest way to do that is by measuring your threshold speed and your top end speed, as we talked about earlier, the sort of 75% speed and the 100% speed. So that can be a 100 meter time trial and then a CSS test or a threshold test of some sort that'll kind of tell you. But my suggestion is to make sure that you are testing, never run purely on assumption of how well your swimming is going, and don't use your race day swim times exclusively as a measure of how well you're progressing.
How often do you recommend testing?
I tend to test with my athletes every 6 weeks, but that also is sort of dependent on where we are in the season. And one of the benefits is working with a coach is that they sort of have an eye for where you're at and what needs to be adjusted or changed without having to test. But generally, you're looking to test every 4 to 6 weeks.
Right. All right, then let's move into the rapid fire questions. So let's keep these really short and sweet, starting with what's your favorite book, blog, or resource related to triathlon or swimming?
I think for swimming, there's a guy called Emmett Hines. Unfortunately, he passed away a little last year. He had a blog, H2O Usten Swim or something like that. I can send you the link. But he breaks down swimming technique in a very unique way that I really enjoyed. And then the normal guys, I think you've had a number of them on the podcast, Jerry Rodriguez, Brenton Ford, Paul Newsom, all good stuff.
Yeah, we'll link those up in the show notes. But please send me the link because I haven't read that blog. So we'll link that up as well. And I need to take a look at it.
Sure.
What's your favorite piece of gear or equipment?
Snorkel, for sure.
And finally, what's something you wish you had known or wish you had done differently in your swimming career?
I wish I'd been able to transfer some of the other principles that I'd learned in other areas of my life over into my swimming. And I think that applies to my coaching too. Instead of approaching everything as a complete beginner, recognizing that there are certain principles that you've learned in other areas of your life that apply to the new endeavor that you're taking on or the new challenge that you're working on.
Wise words. So if the listeners want to learn more about you, your website is icanswimfast.com, and you have a very active and good Instagram account at icswimfast. That's IC, the letters, and then swimfast, all in one word. And we'll have those linked up in the show notes as well. Is there anything else that you want to mention before we stop this interview?
No, I think that's about it. I as you mentioned earlier on, I have the Fundamentals Triathlon Swimming Guide that's available on my website. It's just icanswimfast.com/fundamentals. But other than that, no, that's about it. Find me on Instagram or on the website.
Excellent. So this has been Rory Buck. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a great pleasure talking with you, Rory.
Michael, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciated it, and I appreciate the time and the effort that you put into the show. It's an incredible podcast with some really awesome guests, and I know that these shows aren't easy to do, and a lot of people take them for granted, but this is a top quality show, and I appreciate the time and effort that you put into it.
Thanks, I appreciate that. As I said on the interview, me and Rory had a pretty long email conversation going on for a couple of weeks actually before we got around to recording the interview. And it was really, really evident that we have very similar views on triathlon swim training. I 100% agree with everything that Rory just said in that interview. So this is definitely something that I can really stand behind, and I'd recommend everybody to follow the framework that we go through here. That's not to say that it's the only framework for triathlon swimming. There are many different ways to skin a cat in everything, really. And many people have had great success with other ways. But I do believe that this is a great way to swim train. And as I mentioned on thattriathlonshow.com, on the show notes page, we will have the link to Rory's guide, Fundamentals of Triathlon Swimming. It is really, really good. I read it, and really fantastic, easy to read, easy to understand, but it covers everything that you need to know. Also, check out episodes 27, as I mentioned, swimming training zones, including how to do a CSS test and how to use it. And also, episode 3 with Jerry Rodriguez is still to this day the second or third most downloaded episode of the podcast, I believe, and for good reason, because it is a really great episode, and Jerry is one of the triathlon coaches, or swim coaches in this instance, that I follow the closest with his podcast and everything that he's got going on. So do check that out. Episodes 3 and episode 27, and we'll have those linked up in the show notes. Also, Rory mentioned Brenton Ford, and he was on episode 18, so that will also be linked up, of course. You can contact me and send me questions on michael@scientifictriathlon.com, as usual, and as usual, that's Michael with a K. Or you can tweet me on Twitter, my handle is @SciTriat. With any questions or feedback that you may have, I really appreciate all of your contacts. And a big shout out today to Siobhan. I think I'm pronouncing that correct, but it's difficult. It's an Irish name, so sorry if I'm not. Anyway, I still want to give you a big shout out for writing me an email with several questions about running that we already discussed. But the shout out here is for her telling me about telling all her friends in the Piranha Triathlon Club in Dublin about that Triathlon Show podcast. So that I really appreciate that. And if you're a longtime listener and really like the show and really like your triathlon friends, then this is a fantastic help for both me to get the word out about the show. And I hope that it will be a fantastic help for your friends to be able to dig into this 70 episodes strong backlog of triathlon knowledge. So thank you, Siobhan. I appreciate you. And welcome to all new Piranha Triathlon Club listeners. I hope that you will enjoy this podcast. And do let me know if you have anything in particular that you want me to cover, or any other feedback for that matter. Thank you, as always, for listening. Keep training smart and keep loving triathlon.